Our next test will likely be the second week, the second Sunday in May. And it will be over, what?
Versus over your counting.
Sorry. Let me see. The second Sunday in May is?
The second Sunday in May.
That will be the 12th of May. And our test will be over after what they're teaching in the adult Sunday school. So all the lessons are on YouTube, they're online.
Great.
So they're taking questions from the scriptures, from what the brothers teach, and we'll make a quiz out of that. And I guess the mock quiz will be the Sunday of the week, the first Sunday in the week of May. Just to announce that. Ecclesiastes 1, are we all in?
Are you typing this down?
Okay. So you can get number 1 next time.
Thank God, took my phone.
Alright, Sparheads, dear Father, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for allowing us to be here, Lord, just to gather around your word. And just thank you for the baptisms happening today, Lord. And just thank you for bringing people into the fold. And just continue to lead us and guide us, Lord. And pray for all the prayer requests, Lord, and those who are struggling, Lord, those in hospitals and different places, Lord, different family members and people passing, Lord, and people who are sick, Lord, just pray that you heal their body, Lord, and give comfort to families, Lord, who have lost a loved one. I pray that you show us your word, Lord, and show us in your word, you know, how we go about the troubles of life, Lord, and just for our daily walk and our daily strength, Lord, that we lean into you, Lord, and not into things of the world. We get rid of all the distractions and all the worldly things, Lord, and just focus more on your word and continue to consume more of that and become more like you, Lord. Just forgive us of all things and thank you for all things. You lead us and guide us in this day. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. So, Ecclesiastes chapter 1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Who's that?
Solomon.
Solomon, yes. Son of David, king in Jerusalem at the time. And to vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor, which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turned about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returned again, according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full unto the place from whence the rivers come. Thither they return again. So he's kind of talking about, in a way, the cycle of life. So one generation comes, another generation leaves. You know, and you know the sun rises and the sun sets, and the wind goes here and it goes there. And the rivers go to the sea, but the sea never gets full, and the rivers never stop flowing. And it's just life is this cyclical thing where this is a cycle, there's this nature, you know. Just and he's in a way he's pointing out like you said in the first part was that all is vanity, and there's so much vanity because you know one guy might. Get a lot of money, and then, you know, but he can't keep it. It gets passed on, and then someone else might come, and then, you know, there's rise and fall. Like, this might be popular one year, and then the next year this is popular, and there's trends, and there's different things, and nothing seems to be, you know, necessarily stable or set in stone, because everything's always changing, and, you know, people come, people go. And it's the constant cycle of life. In verse 8, all things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. So that's an interesting idea that there's really no satisfaction in these things, because it says all things are full of labor, man cannot utter it, and the eyes are not satisfied with seeing. Your eyes are never going to be tired of seeing. You're always going to want to see more. Your ears are not satisfied with hearing. So even in our human nature, you know, there's very little satisfaction to the things we do. There's very few times where we're truly satisfied with the way things are, or in our life, or even if sometimes you set a goal for yourself and you go achieve that goal, well, then there's another goal to achieve and there's another this to achieve, and you know, maybe you got through elementary school and you got through middle school and you got through high school and you may or may not go through college, or you make a job, and once you get to the job you want to make this much money and you eventually want to make more, and there's always something to push for, and you keep pushing and pushing and pushing. And there seems to be no end to it, no real satisfaction in the whole process. In verse 9, the thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new, it hath been already of old time which was before us? There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. So, when you think of all, you know, perhaps the great people in history and the different empires that there were, there's a Chinese dynasty and there's the English Empire and imperialism and all those things, and then people were, you know, so focused and concerned on building up these empires and establishing these things. And yet there's many empires that fell, you know, we just learned about the history, but they're not still in power today. So that's another thing where he's talking about here, where it's like all those big empires, all the effort that went into those things, all the time that went into those things, and for most of it to be forgotten and to not be no longer be relevant, no longer be important. And for people to put that much effort and energy into all those things, and it doesn't matter because all those things are just going to fall away, and there's no firm foundation in those things. 12, I the preacher was king over in Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under the heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. I communed with mine own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate, and I have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem, yea, my heart and great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that it is also a vexation of spirit. So he's saying, of all the things he's seen, all the works under the sun, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. So these things are fleeting at best. And this is a very, what's the word? It's very, it goes along with a lot of the rest of the Bible, where a lot of these things, you know, like the righteousness of man, and there really is none. And even in Matthew, the rich young ruler, when he goes to Jesus, and he even calls Jesus good, and Jesus says, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that's the Father. So, just this, the entirety of the work being done on earth and the futility of it, and that's what Solomon's looking at, because Solomon, especially as a king, he had access to everything, and he goes more into that the further you get into Ecclesiastes. He goes more into all the things that he has access to, and the singers and the entertainment. And it could be women, it could be money, it could be just anything you could possibly imagine as a king. He could get it. And yet he's seeing that, you know, that even through his experience, that it's all just vanity and vexation of spirit. And then a lot of the things that even we do today are really just distractions. And when you think about what's actually important, sometimes if you, or even dietitians will say that, you know, sometimes people will eat because they're bored, not because they're actually hungry. Or people will do certain things because, or even procrastination will procrastinate by trying to clean the room or do other things and trying to avoid the main cause. And then there's many different things we can distract ourselves with, but we have to come to a realization that eventually, that we have the only thing that's worthwhile pursuing is God, because and the Word, because like you said, there's empires, there's mountains, you know, things that were built. Like you look at the pyramids, you look at even today we have, you know, huge buildings, the Taj Mahal, the skyscrapers, the Empire State Building, and all those things, And these things are seen as like a great accomplishment. But if time carries on for long enough, as Solomon said, these things will just be forgotten and remembered and relics of the past and dust. And there will be nothing we can hold on to in these things. And even Solomon saying that, you know, and he even asked the Lord for wisdom. When God asked him what he wanted, the Lord gave him wisdom. And even he says, I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. And I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit. So even just this pursuit of maybe wisdom and knowledge and not necessarily spiritual wisdom and knowledge, but just to know like things of the world and to be knowledgeable about things, or to be smart, to be a scholar, to be educated, and those things, you know, even those things can also be vanity. And because walking into a room and being the smartest person there isn't also always going to be, you know, that's also not lasting. It's not lasting. Like, having money is not lasting. Having wisdom is not lasting. Having, you know, a nice car or having a nice house or getting a nice job, none of those things are lasting. And Solomon is going to, throughout Ecclesiastes, he always talks about that. And he goes here and there, and there's no satisfaction around. And that's why people, you know, you see people who are truly lost, and you see people in the world where they're not satisfied. You know, they always want something more. They want more. But the Bible says that contentment is great gain. So if you can be content with what's allotted to you. And I think Brother Branham, when he asked his fiance's dad for her hand in marriage, and he said, I'm forgetting the quote, but he's saying that life's not about, you know, how much you can gain, but it's about how satisfied you are with what's allotted to you. And so it's not about, you know, trying to be the best at this or be the richest this or to be, you know, and there's nothing wrong with ambition per se. It's good to be ambitious. It's good to have goals. It's good to want to strive to be better at what you're doing. But it's also important to understand that that's not the main thing. You know, and Brother Branham talks about majoring on a minor, where someone might have, you know, one thing that they really desire, even maybe they're really into sports or they're really into business or they're really into something and they really want to chase after that. And nothing wrong with that necessarily, but like Brother Brandon would say, you're majoring on a minor, because the major thing is always going to be God and His Word and the Kingdom of God. Or even in politics, where people get really into politics and get really concerned about those things, and people can care about politics. You know, it's not that people, like, it's unscriptural or anything to care about those things. But you give unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and you give unto God what is God's. And you make sure you make God major, you know. And people will sometimes conflate their political beliefs with religious beliefs, but, you know, there's generally a separation of church and state, and we need to major on God and minor on everything else. And it's also part of doors and doors, is that, you know, there's the, you know, like the three doors, is the private life, pride, and faith that Benjamin talked about in that sermon. And you can major on those things. You can major on your pride, and pride is an interesting thing, because pride is Brother Bob did a really good job on teaching this one time, where he was talking about how, I forget the exact title, but he said something like bitterness is unmatched expectations. So you expect something to happen a certain way, and then when it doesn't happen that certain way, you get bitter about it, you get upset. And maybe since some of y'all are driving now, you know, when someone cut you off, that might get you really upset. You might get upset by that. But on a part of that as well is pride, because you expect things to happen a certain way. You expect the person in the left lane to not be going slow, because that's the fast lane. You expect people to not cut you off. You expect, you know, the roads to be well. But when you realize, when you have to come to the realization that, you know, when you look around the world, God is the creator of everything. And there's nothing that was made, as I believe it's in the book of John, there's nothing that was made. Without him was nothing made that was made. So everything that was made is from God. Now, once you really come to that revelation that God gives you everything, there's nothing that you have that God hasn't given you. And then you realize that, and then you can stop getting upset at things, because, you know, you look at how Job responded. He said, you know, The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. And he had everything taken from him. It is his family, his friends, his farm, everything was taken from him. But it was all God's in the first place. And when Job realized that, he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. And blessed is the name of the Lord. So everything we have, everything we'll ever have, everything we've ever had in the past, is all God's. So when something happens to us, when something maybe unexpected happens, maybe if, you know, someone doesn't treat us the way we think we should be treated, we need to let go of our pride and realize that, well, that's for God to deal with. You know, if God wanted me to have wanted them to be nice to me, then that'd be okay. If this is a test, or this is, you know, this is just how it is, and that's okay. And just that spirit of meekness and humbleness. And Brother Branham emphasized that spirit of humbleness. And those who, even those who met him, and those who, if you're fortunate enough to know someone who knew him, they'll emphasize that they went to the meetings. There was a spirit of humbleness about him. And even Brother Branham said, you know, even a pastor or some ministers in the church, they should have a humble spirit about them. You know, and just to keep that spirit of humility and meekness and lowliness. And, you know, even when you look at how Jesus was when they treated him and the way they treated him, you know, and he always stood for the word, but, you know, he wasn't just going to lash out at somebody for just smacking him on the face or calling him Beelzebub or these different things. And, of course, he would always stand on the word, as we should, but when you see how they treated him and he didn't lash out, he could have completely got off the cross when someone taunted him and said, get off the cross. If you're really the king of the Jews, you know, if you're really him, like, get off the cross. And he didn't do it because he had a higher purpose to fulfill. So when I find that's a good thing to focus on when things happen, is to realize that God gave you everything. And without him was nothing made that was made. So when things happen, when things, you know, don't go the way you expect them, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Everything you have now that you're benefiting from, the Lord gave it to you. So if it's taken away from you, who are you to complain, you know? If you go to someone's house, you can't be prideful in someone else's house, because everything, that's their dominion, that's, you know, that's their couch, that's their chair, that's their bathroom. So you can't have any pride about what's going on in someone else's house. And everything that was made by God. So we're all metaphorically in his house. And there's nothing that we should lose, or something would happen to us that should get us so angry and so out of place, because we need to realize that he gave it to us. And just to keep that spirit of meekness. And even Solomon, you know, sometimes it's hard for even him to keep that spirit of meekness, and a lot of the kings, because, you know, really there wasn't supposed to be any kings, but the people really wanted a king. And of course, they were obliged, and they got their king. But even later in Ecclesiastes, I think it's, I'm not sure what chapter it is, but he talks about how, you know, even having a lot of wealth can lead to a lot of problems, because the more wealth, you know, the more that eateth thereof, and the more there's to take care of, and the more problems and issues that come with having wealth, because now people want to take that wealth, or this happens and that happens, and that's part of the, Jesus said it's harder for a rich man to get into God, to get to heaven, than it's for a camel to pass the eye of a needle. Because those things can distract you from God, and all the issues that come out of having a lot of wealth can distract you from God. But it's about focusing on the main thing. It's about not majoring on a minor. You know, we major on ourselves when we have pride, when something happens to us and we get upset. We're majoring on ourselves. We're majoring on, oh, well, you know, I'm hungry right now and I don't have any food. Well, every ounce of food that you ever did have was given to you by God. So you're majoring on yourself. You're majoring on how you feel. You're majoring on your emotions. You're majoring on, you know, what you want out of life. And sometimes we need to humble ourselves and let God lead us and let go of our pride and those different things. And that's the encompassing message of Doors and Doors and Ecclesiastes, and really the whole word is we need to focus less on ourselves and more on God. Understand that everything that we have is for God and from God. In verse 18, it says, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. So if someone ever says ignorance is bliss, this is where they got it from. Because much wisdom increases grief, is much grief, and he that increases knowledge increases sorrow. So ignorance is bliss, Because more knowledge increaseth sorrow. Same with, he says later on, more money increaseth sorrow. More money leads to problems. More knowledge leads to problems. And, you know, it's not that we shouldn't educate ourselves or be knowledgeable about things, but we should should be aware that, you know, even knowledge, even though it can be useful, is not our end goal. Even though we need it for this life, because, you know, that's just how the way the world is after the fall. We need to have knowledge, we need to be knowledgeable, we need to know how to deal with certain situations. But at the end of the day, we need to major on God and not focus so much on what we know. And you see a lot of academics get very prideful because they feel like they put in the work. They've read the books, they've read the studies, they've read the articles, and they get very prideful in what they know. And there's nothing wrong with being knowledgeable, but when anything that is taken out, that is majored on more than God, can lead you away from God. So remember to don't major on the minors and keep your eyes on God. So God bless you. You're dismissed.